If you take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings and chapter 6. And once you find 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read the first 7 verses. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for another opportunity to get into it and learn more about you. I pray you bless our time in the scriptures this morning. Speak to every one of our hearts. I do pray for my wife who just left the room with a little asthma problem. Pray that you just touch her and help her to feel better quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. This event took place in the 8th century B.C. And there are many people in this Bible story, but there are two main characters: an unnamed prophet student and the prophet Elisha. Now, if you're familiar with Old Testament history, you'll remember that Elisha was Elijah's student. But when Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, Elisha became God's chosen successor to Elijah, and God richly blessed Elisha's ministry, giving him a double portion of his Holy Spirit. Elisha's prophetic ministry lasted 50 years and was characterized by many exciting miracles. Now, the text we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 begins by telling us of a problem that a young seminary student had. Elisha apparently ran a school of the scriptures, and the building they were meeting in for the prophet Elisha to teach them God's ways was too small to hold everybody. They apparently needed more dormitory space and more classroom space. And so the students asked permission of their trusted teacher Elisha to go to the area of the Jordan River where there were many trees so that they could get some wood to build a larger place to live and study. And the plan was for each student to cut one beam of wood each for the building expansion. This was apparently the first Bible college dormitory ever built, and we see it taking place here. And the prophet Elisha basically says to them, after they say, "Can we go to the Jordan, get the wood to build this building?" He says, basically, "That sounds like a great idea, so go ahead and do that." Now, in our Bible text, you can see here that there was mutual trust, right? The students trusted Elisha to teach them the truth of the Word of God, and Elisha trusted the students. Elisha thought the students were mature enough to enter into this project on their own. He thought they were mature enough to engineer the building of a new place to live on their own. But not wanting to be without their trusted teacher, one of these young seminary students said to Elisha, "Won't you please go with us?" And so Elisha and his young students headed to the Jordan River to build a new college campus. And when they arrived, they immediately began to work on cutting down trees. And each student was doing his part until one of the young students who was cutting down a tree had the iron axe head fly off the handle of the axe that he had borrowed, and it fell into the Jordan River and sank straight to the bottom. Now think about what just happened. This young student lost his axe head. So that means he lost his cutting edge and he lost his effectiveness in doing his work. Well, of course, this is Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day is a day that we set aside to honor the work that we do all year. But this morning, we're going to take this in a spiritual direction and talk about the work of God. The reality is, if you've done work for the Lord, you can be assured that there is no greater work in the world than building up the kingdom of God. But here's the question this morning. Do you feel like you've lost your cutting edge in serving the Lord? Another way of putting that was, have you lost your effectiveness in doing the Lord's work? Were you at one time in your life working with great strength and vigor, you know, with the chips flying in all directions, knocking down tree after tree, building up, excuse me, the kingdom of God? Well, if you've lost your cutting edge for the Lord, you need to ask the Lord to help you get it back. And there are a couple of things I believe this passage teaches us that just might help us get back our cutting edge for the Lord. First of all, I want you to notice that like this young seminary student in our text, we must admit that we've lost our cutting edge. The first step the young student had to take was to admit that he no longer had his cutting edge because it had slipped off the axe handle and flown into the Jordan River, and then it had sunk right to the bottom of that flowing current. He was busy doing important work for God, but suddenly he was no longer effective at it. And to admit that we have a problem is the first step. But it's often the most difficult step. We can see many examples around us where admitting that one has a problem is the first step in the healing process, right? For example, the first step in an Alcoholics Anonymous program is to admit that you have a problem with alcohol. Now, the young student could have reacted in other ways instead of admitting that he had a problem, right? He could have been very happy that he lost his axe head. He could have used it as an excuse to stop working for God altogether. Or he could have found himself a nice cool shade tree and poured himself a glass of iced tea and just watched his fellow students do all the work. Or he could have just refused to admit that he lost his axe head. He could have said, "What problem? I don't have any problem." Or he could have just kept swinging the wooden stick without the iron axe head mounted on the end, just going through the motions of cutting down trees, making a lot of noise, but accomplishing absolutely nothing. And did you catch the part where the young student said, "A lost master, for it was borrowed"? Now, why is that a big deal? It's because iron axe heads were rare in the 8th century B.C., not to mention that they were very expensive. And this man was a young seminary student who, like most young seminary students, probably had very little money. And so if someone had not loaned him the axe, he would not have been able to work. Now, with that in mind, let me ask you this. Have you ever considered the fact that all of your abilities all of your resources, all of your talents are borrowed. They're on loan to us from God. And we need to remember that God has not given us permission to stop working for Him until we enter His rest in heaven. I remember someone saying one time, serving the Lord can be hard, but the benefits are out of this world. And they are. They are. And if we've lost our cutting edge for the Lord in doing His work, the first thing we should do is admit that we have a problem. Now, secondly, like the young seminary student, we need to determine the exact spot where we lost our cutting edge. Have you ever had a problem with misplacing things? I know many people over the years here at church have lost things. I can't find my car keys, or I've lost my sunglasses, or I've lost an earring, or I don't know where I put my Bible, or I've lost gloves, or all kinds of different things. I've lost money, and they search frantically all around the church trying to find these missing items. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear someone losing something, one of the first things I ask them, just instinctively, is, "Do you remember where you had it last?" And I know that's a silly question, because if they knew where they had it last, they would know where it is, right? But I don't feel so bad in asking that question because I'm in good company. Because basically that's what Elisha asked. He said, "Where fell it? Where fell it?" And I know from personal experience that a real good way to find something is to try to remember where you had it last. Well, of course, this young student didn't plan on losing his cutting edge. It just happened. And isn't that the way with us, right? See, although we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as Christians, we still have a sinful nature within us as well. And we have a tendency to lose our contributions to building up God's kingdom. And like that young student in our text, we don't plan for this to happen. As a matter of fact, something similar happened to the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. Peter said to Jesus in Matthew 26:33, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Basically saying, look, although everyone else at times stops serving you, Lord, not me. I'll never stop. And then one day, even faithful Peter denied the Lord three times. Folks, if we ever get to the point where we have lost our cutting edge in doing God's work, we need to remember that our cutting edge was left where we had it last. And so maybe we need to ask some other questions, like, why did we lose our cutting edge with the Lord? Was it because I dropped out of reading my Bible daily because I thought that wasn't too important? Or was it because I stopped praying on a daily basis because I thought that wasn't important? Or was it because I stopped attending church worship services on a regular basis and just started attending hit or miss? Or was it because I became angry with someone and was not willing to forgive them? Or have you lost your cutting edge for the Lord because you failed to witness to someone in His name that the Lord laid upon your heart? Or did you lose your cutting edge because of some personal sin that has entangled your life that you have been unwilling to confess and repent of? Or have you lost your cutting edge for God because you've only been willing to give Him a small portion of your talents and abilities and haven't been using them fully in God's service? But I'll tell you this. If you have the courage to take a deep and serious look at your personal spiritual life, you can discover where and why you lost your cutting edge of service to the Lord. When this young seminary student lost his cutting edge, he first had the courage to admit the fact that he didn't have that cutting edge anymore, and he determined the exact place where he lost it. And then the third thing is this. The third thing he did was he did his part in recovering his cutting edge. You see, Elisha wasn't a magician. What he was a chosen prophet of Almighty God. And the power that Elisha had to perform miracles wasn't his own power. It was power from God. Therefore, this miracle on the part of Elisha in making the iron swim not only shows us that Elisha was concerned about this young student's problem, but more importantly, it shows us that God was deeply concerned about this young student's problem. And I think this miracle clearly illustrates some basic truths about God. First, God is deeply concerned with you as an individual. There was an entire company of young prophet students cutting down trees that day. Yet God took the time to help the one who had the problem. God is deeply concerned with the individual. And we also see this in Jesus' teaching about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, all in Luke chapter 15, just to mention a few. You and I are very valuable to God. As a matter of fact, we're so valuable that God said he created us in his image and in his likeness. And then another truth here is that with God, there are no problems too small to bring to his attention. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Remember in 1 Peter 5, 7, it speaks of casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you have a problem or a concern today? Let me ask you this. Have you cast that problem or concern upon God? David said in Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. See, a man losing an axe head, that may not seem like that big of a deal, but God thought it was. See, God not only cares about you and is concerned about your problems, but God will help you solve your problems. And that solved problem will return honor and glory back to God. Just like the axe head floating to the surface so that it could be returned to its rightful owner. So let's talk about what this young student did to get back his cutting edge. Because the work of recovering the axe head didn't end just because he admitted he had a problem. And it didn't end just because he sought help from the prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha had the power, a spiritual gift from God, to make that axe head float to the top of the water and then fly straight up out of the water into the air and right back onto that wooden handle. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He just made it swim towards the shore. And why do you suppose Elisha did that? It was because God wanted this young man to take personal responsibility and be involved in his own recovery. And God wanted him to reach out his hand and recover the axe head himself. And so be honest with yourself this morning. Take a serious look at your cutting edge in doing God's kingdom work. Have you adopted the motto of the world when it comes to the things of the church? You see, the motto of the world these days seems to be, what can the church do for me? Not, what can I do for the church? On January 20th, 1961, President John F. Kennedy, in his inauguration address, said these words, "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." But today, we live in a culture that has swung completely in the opposite direction and says, what will big government do for the people? And that philosophy has also crept into the church today. Far too many Christians look at the local church as a place to be served rather than a place to serve. Many Christians today look at the church and they say, well, what programs do you have for me and my family? And if you don't have programs or services that I like, then I'll just go down the road where there's a church better equipped to serve me. You talk about sad. And all I can say is, God help us. God help us to get back to the mindset of service to God and service to others and stop being so selfish as Christians. We've let the world affect our Christian service, and that needs to change. Now, understand this. This is a great text, and I'm glad it's in the Bible. But do you know that this young student could have avoided all his problems if he had only checked his axe head occasionally? Think about it. If he had checked his axe head to see if it was firmly attached to the axe handle, he would have seen that it was loose. And he could have done a quick and easy repair so that he would not have lost any time doing his work. And like that, we too need to check out our spiritual tools on a regular basis. You know, several times in the New Testament, Christians are told to examine themselves. So when was the last time you did that? See, when you check out your spiritual inventory on a regular basis, then you can make minor adjustments and just keep on serving the Lord. And so if you're here today and you're a Christian, God wants you to be an effective servant in his kingdom. So check out your iron axe head of spiritual service and make sure everything is okay in your personal relationship with the Lord. Make sure you're not swinging away with just a wooden stick without the axe head attached. Make any needed repairs to your spiritual life and then get back to work for God. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that Jesus is extending to you a personal invitation of mercy and grace. The same mercy and grace Katie sang about this morning. And we pray that you'll respond to him. We pray that you will know without a doubt this morning that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for your sins, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead, victorious and triumphant. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of his life's blood on the cross as full payment for all your sins. And he is just waiting for you to respond by calling out to Christ and putting your faith and your trust in him and him alone for the salvation of your soul, for forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And if this is a decision that you have not already made in your heart, I urge you to make this decision for Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity this morning to look into the pages of this book and learn some very practical things about getting back our spiritual edge when it comes to serving you. Lord, it is so easy for us to just grow kind of cold and indifferent and apathetic and just kind of sit back and relax and not be active and involved in your work. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to get past that this morning. And if there's anybody in this room that just feels like they've grown cold and they're just lost that cutting edge, Lord, I pray that this morning that would change. That this morning they'd come to you and admit that this is a problem. And they'd examine their lives and see what needs to be changed. And then this morning I pray they'd make a commitment to make that change. And Lord, I know that if they'll do that, you'll give them all the help they need to do it. And so, Father, renew our zeal. Renew our passion for serving you and for serving others. And then, Lord, if there's anybody in this room this morning that does not know you personally as their Savior and Lord, I pray that today would be the day when they'd open up their heart and invite Christ in to wash their sins away and give them eternal life. I pray that today would be the day when they become a child of God. And so continue to work in our hearts this morning. Don't let anybody leave here this morning, Lord, without knowing that all is well between you and them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.